الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. I ask Allah to grant us the sincere intentions. The author said, moreover, it is obligatory to believe that every prophet of Allah must be attributed with truthfulness, trustworthiness, and intelligence. The explanation: everyone among the prophets of Allah has to be attributed with these attributes. One of these attributes is truthfulness. It does not befit them to lie. It is impossible for them to be attributed with lying. To lie contradicts the status of prophethood. Why? Because the prophet conveys from God, and the liar is not trusted. Thus, Allah does not send a liar as a messenger. This prevents the people from accepting what he conveys. Now, we know about Prophet Ibrahim that at one point of time he was asked about his wife, "Who is this?" He answered, "She is my sister." We know she is not his blood sister, and Ibrahim did not mean that. Rather, for a certain benefit, he used this statement, meaning that she is my sister in Islam, which is truth, which is truthful, which is the truth. So it is not lying. Although some people who do not know the real situation might think that he lied. This is not a lie. Ibrahim entered with his wife a land ruled by a tyrant. This man, this ruler, had a habit: whatever married woman enters his land, he would take her by force and commit zina with her if she was beautiful. Sarah, Ibrahim's wife, was very beautiful. So some people told him, so this is why Ibrahim, when he was asked about Sarah, he said, "This is my sister." And he was truthful in that. She is his sister in Islam. He said that to protect her. That ruler was told, "A very beautiful woman entered your land." He asked for her despite that they thought she was not married. Still he wanted her. They took her to him. She made wudu before meeting him, and he wanted to approach her. When he stretched his hand froze. So he told her, "Make dua for me." She did, and his hand could move again. And again, he stretched his hand towards her, and again his hand froze. So he told her, "Make dua for me and I will not approach you." She did. Then he told his people, "Take her away from me. This is a devil." And he gave her a female slave that he owned as a gift. This was Hajar. Later, she gave Hajar as a gift to Prophet Ibrahim, to her husband. And Hajar, from Ibrahim, she gave birth to Prophet Ismail. This is why Ibrahim said, "This is my sister," about her. And it was truthful, it wasn't a lie. In Surah Al-Anbiya, another matter is mentioned about Prophet Ibrahim. One day when the people left the city to celebrate outside the city, in an occasion, They went outside the city to celebrate. Prophet Ibrahim took advantage to that of that. He went to the place where they put their idols. He broke the little ones that he could break, and he degraded the big one, humiliated the big one. When they came back, they asked each other, who did that to our idols? Well, they said, to our gods. Some of them said, we heard a young person called Ibrahim mentioning them. That is mentioning that he is going to do something against them. They asked Ibrahim, did you do that? Ibrahim said, بَلْ فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا فَاسْأَلُوهُمْ إِن كَانُوا يَنْطِقُونَ. This verse is interpreted, the reply of Ibrahim is interpreted by two ways by the scholars of Ahl Sunnah. Some said his reply means that if they speak, then this big one would be the one who did that to them. If they can speak. That is, you know they cannot. This is to tell them that you are worshipping something like you, a body, which is weaker than you. You can speak, they cannot speak. Another interpretation is that because you glorify this big one very much, this pushed me to humiliate it and break the others. In any case, Ibrahim did not say, no, I did not do it, because the prophets do not lie. If this is the case, then what would be the case about the hadith narrated by Muslim that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, كذب إبراهيم ثلاث كذبات, which some people might interpret it by saying Ibrahim lied three times. We say, first of all, some scholars said this hadith is not strong enough to the point to rely upon it in the issues of the creed. So they said this hadith is not taken in consideration, period. Some other scholars said the term kathaba in the Arabic language bears several meanings. It does not only bear the meaning of lying. Kathaba bears also the meaning of telling something which is truthful that might appear to some people as if it is lying. They said, and this is what kathaba in this hadith means. So in both, in any case, the scholars of Islam agreed that Ibrahim did not lie, alayhi salam, because lying does not befit the Prophet. Among the attributes of the Prophet is trustworthiness, which means that they do not betray anyone. And I mean by that if anyone asks for their advice, they wouldn't cheat that person. And if anyone gives them something as a trust, they do not take it unrightfully. They take care of it. Also, all the prophets are intelligent. It is impossible that a prophet would be dumb. Dumbness is not in compliance with their status. Allah sent the Prophet to convey the message to the people and to mention the proofs that support the truthfulness of their message. And a dumb person is unable to produce the proofs for that. This is why all the Prophets are intelligent people. Consequently, lying, dishonesty, vileness, stupidity, cowardice, and dullness are impossible to be among their attributes. And likewise, every attribute that prevents the people from accepting the truth from them. The explanation, it is impossible for the prophets to be attributed with vileness. They do not act in a way that does not have wisdom in it. So, for example, no one among the prophets would look stealthily, secretly, to marriageable woman that he is not allowed to look at. No one among the prophets steals even one grape. No one among the prophets says those ugly words. Okay. No one says among them obscene words, cursing right and left. No one among them acts like that. Also, it is impossible that any prophet would be attributed with dumbness. No one among them would have a weak understanding. It is also impossible that the prophets would have a slip of the tongue, whether in the matters of the religion or other matters. Because if this was possible, then people would not trust what they say. People would start to say, well, maybe he wanted to say another thing, not this. This is why no one among the prophets says anything other than what he intended to say. Likewise, the prophets do not experience detracting illnesses, illnesses that make the people stay away from them and not listen to them. Repulsive illnesses. It is not that sickness in general does not affect the prophets. No, they got sick. But the repulsive illness does not affect them, does not hit them. Like for the worms to come out from the body. This is a repulsive matter. The prophets are never hit by that. Some people claim that Prophet Ayyub, during his long sickness, worms started to get out from his body, his face and other parts of his body. This is a lie. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not say that. Some people said that without any base, any solid base for that saying. This does not befit a prophet. Do you sit and talk with someone while the worms are coming out from his face and his body? You don't do that. This is repulsive. Allah sent the prophets to call the people to Islam, not to act in a way that drives them away from hearing or listening to the call of Islam, or not to be a reason for people to drive away from listening to the call of Islam. Likewise, it is impossible that any prophet would be coward. As for the fear inherent in the human being, which is inherent in the human being, this might occur to the prophets. Like the fear of a snake when the person sees it suddenly, this is inherent in the human being. Such a fear might occur to the prophets, as it occurred with Prophet Musa when his stick was turned into a big snake. Allah revealed to him that take it and don't be afraid, don't be worried. And just like Musa also said, as it is mentioned in Surah Ash-Shu'ara in Al-Quran, فَفَرَرْتُ مِنْكُمْ لَمَّا خِفْتُكُمْ, which means, I went away from you when I feared that you are going to kill me. Such kind of fearing, of fear, might occur to the prophets. The author said, they must also be attributed with impeccability, that is, they are protected from ever committing blasphemy, enormous sins, and the small abject sins before and after prophethood. The explanation, the prophets are protected from committing blasphemy. before and after prophethood. So as we said before, it is not correct to say that Ibrahim first worshipped the star, then the moon, then the sun, then after that he worshipped Allah. This does not befit the prophet. And whomever says that is misinterpreting the verses of Al-Quran. The prophets always would be believers. They do not disbelieve even for a moment. Likewise, it is not possible that any prophet would commit an enormous sin. The prophets, they do not steal, they do not do sorcery, they do not commit az-zina, they do not commit any enormous sin. Likewise, the prophets do not do small sins that entail meanness, that contain meanness and low character. An example of that is to steal one grape. Although stealing one grape is not an enormous sin, but the one who does it would have a low character. He knows that the owner does not accept for him to take this grape, and still he steals it. It shows low character in such a person. The prophets are protected from being attributed with such attribute. The author said, on the other hand, they may commit other small sins. However, they are immediately guided to repent before others imitate them. We mentioned that it is not possible for a prophet that a prophet would commit blasphemy, enormous sin, or a small abject sin. But what about the other small sins? The scholars of Ahl Sunnah are two groups in this issue, about this matter. Some said even the small sins that are not abject ones, the Prophet is protected from committing them, any of them. The majority of the scholars said they might rarely commit such small sin. Some said they might commit it before prophethood, and some said even after prophethood. The people of the first saying, the minority, they said had this been possible, then the people would fall into that sin by imitating the prophet who committed it. This is why this is impossible. The majority answered and said, Allah inspires them to repent quickly, so no one would follow them in committing that sin. What the majority said is in compliance with the apparent meanings of the verses of Quran and Hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Like the saying of Allah in Surah Taha, وَعَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَى, which means, which says that Adam عليه السلام disobeyed Allah Ta'ala. Another example is the saying of Allah in Surah Ash-Shu'ara about Ibrahim عليه السلام, that he said, وَالَّذِي أَطْمَعُ أَن يَغْفِرَ لِي خَطِيئَتِي يَوْمَ الدِّينِ, which means, Allah is the one from whom I seek. Allah is the one that will forgive me for my sin on the day of judgment. Now, the minority among the scholars did not say that what Adam did is not called ma'asiyah, because Allah in Al-Quran mentioned that it is ma'asiyah. Anyone who says it is not ma'asiyah is belying Al-Quran. They said, we call it ma'asiyah, but ma'asiyah in this context does not mean a sin. Rather, because Adam has a high status, when such an act occurred from him, this act was called ma'asiyah, because his high status, not because it is a sin. يعني I'm saying that so no one would wonder, well, do they belie Al-Quran? Allah قال وعصى آدم ربه. They don't. Anyone who says this is not ma'asiyah, then he blasphemes. No, they said we call it ma'asiyah, but they said ma'asiyah in this context does not mean sinning. It means that this act is called ma'asiyah because of the high status of Adam. But as you see, this is not the apparent meaning of the verse. This is not the apparent meaning of the verse. And be warned here against some false Sufis, ignorant people who claim to be Sufis, who said that Adam apparently Allah prevented him from eating from that tree. Allah forbade him from eating from that tree, apparently. But really, Allah ordered him to do that. Such a statement does not make sense. Does not make sense. What they do, those blasphemous people, everything they like to do it, and Allah forbade it, they say, well, our case is like Adam. Really, we are ordered to do it. Apparently, we are forbidden from doing it. This is why they say that about Adam alayhi salam. It is nonsense. It is nonsense. The author said, hence, prophethood was not bestowed upon the brothers of Yusuf, who, excluding Binyamin, committed the mean deeds mentioned in the Quran. Relying on what we mentioned about the attributes of the prophets, one can easily deduce that the brothers of Yusuf, who did the abject deeds which they did not become prophethood afterwards, did not become prophet afterwards. They hit their brother, they throw him in the well, they humiliated their father, who was a prophet at the time, and degrading a prophet is blasphemy. So although they repented after that, they never became prophets. As for Binyamin, he did not take partnership with them in what they did. It is famous that he became a prophet later. Binyamin is the smallest among them, the youngest among them. The author said, the Asbat are the descendants of Yusuf's brothers who were chosen for prophethood. If this is the case, if the brothers of Yusuf did not become prophets, then who are Al-Asbat, those prophets mentioned in Al-Quran by the name of Al-Asbat, if they were not the brothers of Yusuf? Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, قُلُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَالْأَسْبَاطُ. Which means, O you believers, say, we believe in what Allah, in the book, brought, revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in what was revealed to Prophet Ibrahim, Ismail, Ishaq, Yaqub, and to Al-Asbab. Those Asbab are those who got the revelation, who became prophets among the descendants of Yusuf's brothers. So they are not the brothers of Yusuf. They are those who received the revelation among their offsprings. So Al-Asbat is the plural of Sibat, and sibt in the Arabic language can bear the meaning of the child, one's child, or the offsprings of his child. So those asbat who were prophets are those who got the revelation among the offsprings of the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam. By this we end talking about the meaning of the two shahadas, La ilaha illallah and Muhammadur Rasulullah. Now let us stop here for now. Wallahu a'lam, Allah knows best. We start talking about the type of apostasy, a riddah.